Our scripture today is not John chapter 4. I was going to preach from that, and I love that title, but I love the title of my new sermon even more. Knowing when you need a hug and knowing when you need a butt whooping. That's the title of my new sermon. Knowing when you need a hug and knowing when you need a butt whooping. I have one verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. And the people said, amen. But that ain't all of it. But painful. And the people said, amen. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And may God add His blessing to the reading of that holy scripture. And all God's people said, amen. I very rarely let, you know what a secular society is? Some people say that we are a Christian nation. We were founded as a Christian nation. But I would argue that today we're more of a secular society. And a secular society meaning that we might be guided a little bit by God's Word, but, you know, sometimes God's Word's old-fashioned, and it's nice for some people, but not for me type thing. And so secular is basically worldly, the world. And so I very rarely let the world dictate what I speak about from the pulpit on Sunday morning. So that's why usually on Father's Day, I just preach about whatever. I mean, I say Happy Father's Day. We're the church, and we honor fathers every day, every Sunday. The Scripture tells us to honor our fathers all the time. Honor our mothers all the time. Is it great that our country has a day? Sure. But today I felt like I could tie in, and I felt like I was supposed to tie in, mothers and Jesus today. And I thought that by comparing how start with this. I have friends, and you know people who have their version of Jesus, and their version of Jesus is like that picture back there on the wall. There's a picture of Jesus there. He's holding a baby lamb. It's like sweet, loving, meek Jesus. Matter of fact, if he was a little doll, and you had a little Jesus doll, and you could squeeze him and he would talk, you'd squeeze him and he'd go, "You're awesome. I love you." Right? That kind of Jesus. I said on Wednesday night that there was a guy at annual conference, as one of my friends remembers it, there was a guy at annual conference, and he was talking about this woman caught in adultery. And this woman caught in adultery is brought before Jesus, and they're ready to throw stones at her and kill her, because the Old Testament says if a woman's caught in adultery that the penalty is stoning. Throw rocks at them until they die. And so they brought this woman to Jesus and said, "Jesus, what do you say? Should we stone her? The law of Moses said we should stone her." And Jesus writes down in the dirt, and then Jesus says, "Tell you what, you who have no sins among you, cast the first stone." And so then, as I've seen videos and in the movies, and as they portray this scene, all the people with rocks in their hands, just slowly you hear, rocks hitting the ground. Who's throwing a rock at her? Nobody. And so when it's over, and when she, it's just she and Jesus there, Jesus says to her, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she says, "There are none here, Lord." And she says, "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus says. And then he says to her, what's he say? "Go and sin no more." That's what he says. "Fly straight." Well, as my friend remembers, on the conference floor of the West Virginia Annual Conference, someone is trying to make their point and get their way on a vote, and the person says, and just like that story with Jesus and the woman caught in adultery, Jesus says, I don't condemn you, go in peace. On the floor at a meeting at the West Virginia Annual Conference, my friend remembers the pastor saying that Jesus said, go in peace. He didn't say go in peace. He said, straighten up. He said to the guy that he healed a guy, and he said, now, straighten up so that something worse doesn't happen to you. But we have so many people who have this idea of Jesus that he's just this lovable, cuddly teddy bear. And they don't. And then we have people completely on the opposite side of the spectrum who act like Jesus is this taskmaster and he's so harsh. And you know that there's all these laws in here and you're supposed to keep them, right? And so we've got these two extremes. And it made me think of moms and how somehow moms know if one of their kids needs a hug or if one of their kids needs a butt whooping. And sometimes kids need a whooping, right? And now some of you are going, oh, I never spanked my kids. And okay, Lord will forgive you. Now, remember, hear this. As the legendary singer John Cougar, or as us older people remember him as, John Cougar Mellencamp, once said, he believed in whipping kids. This isn't a sermon about whipping kids, by the way, but he believed in whipping kids, and he said, that's all it takes. One smack on the rump, and they got the message. And he said, everyone after that is strictly for the parent. Is that good? The Bible says no discipline seems good at the time, but later it's good. It was good. They'll thank you for it later. And I thought of the similarities between Jesus and moms. And so I thought we would talk just for a minute, because our Wednesday nights are usually a little interactive. People aren't afraid to talk, not like on a Sunday morning. And so I thought I would just see what you thought about. Let's think of times that Jesus was harsh. Times when Jesus was delivering a proverbial whooping. Tell me a time. Oh, in the synagogue. There's this story that you might not know, but Jesus goes into the temple, and there are these people in there who, back then, you had to sacrifice things. They sacrificed animals, and it had to be a perfect animal. And so, plus you had to pay a temple tax, and you had to have a certain coin to pay the temple tax. And it wasn't a coin that you... So people would come in on pilgrimages to the temple, and they would have to pay this temple tax, and so they would have to give money to the money changers to change it for the token that you need, the coin that you need for the temple tax. Well, all these people in the temple are ripping people off. This is the one of the biggest misconceptions in the church, is that the church isn't allowed to sell anything inside the church building. It's one of the biggest misconceptions about the church. Jesus said, "My house is a house of prayer. It won't be, you've made it a den of thieves." And Jesus was upset because these people were ripping off the poor people. If you're selling peanut butter eggs out of the church, and you're raising the money for the church, there's nothing wrong with that. If someone's selling, you know, you could argue about Girl Scout cookies, if that's ripping off poor people or not, but because, you know, they're so high priced and there's so few in the box. But there's nothing wrong with selling Girl Scout cookies. So Jesus was really upset that people were getting ripped off by the religious people. And so he came in, and I remember doing a sermon one time. I had two tables set up, and I had like poker chips and some coins on each table. And I took the one and I lifted it, and I said, "How do you think Jesus went in there? Did he go in and take the table and flip it up like that, and the coins slowly slid off the table into the floor? Or do you think he did it this way?" And I hurt my hand. But I smacked that table so hard that poker chips went back the fourth row of people in the congregation. I said, "Which way do you think Jesus turned over their tables?" And most people had the idea that he did it the second way. He was upset. He took a whip in there. And then we have people today who say, "Well, my Jesus doesn't ever get out a whip. He might own one, but he never gets it out." And I say, you don't get to make up your own Jesus. He is who he is. Whoever you think he is, that does not define who he is. Amen? He is who he is. And you don't perfectly understand him, and neither do I. If we did, that would make us God. But we have this Jesus that, like a good parent, like a good mother, knows when you need a... So when did he give a proverbial hug to someone? When he met Peter on the beach. After his resurrection, Peter had denied him three times, just like Jesus said he would. If Jesus tells you something, you can... It's gospel. If Jesus tells you you're going to deny him three times, you could bet on that. So Jesus told Peter, "You're going to deny me three times." Peter said, "I'll never deny you. I'll go with you to the death." And Peter denied him three times. And after the resurrection, Jesus is out on a boat. Jesus sees Peter. And Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he says, "Then feed my sheep." And he asks him three times if he loves him. And some people say that that's three times for every one time for every time he denied him. And Jesus said, "This is Peter. And on my rock," I don't know if he said it right then, but he said, "This is Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build my church." When else did Jesus give a proverbial hug to someone who needed it? On 8:30, he had half the people, and they were going... At the tomb. The woman at the well. The woman caught in adultery. They didn't need rebuking. Society was already rebuking them. What did they need? A hug. I was at the National Day of Prayer breakfast in Cumberland on Thursday. Thanks to Logan, and thanks to Wendy Upchurch. Upchurch Funeral Home, I'm not advertising for them, but Upchurch Funeral Home helps to sponsor the National Day of Prayer Breakfast, and Jessica Lynch spoke there, and Logan called me and said that Wendy asked him if he wanted to invite me, and he said no, and she said, well, invite him anyhow, and so I got to go with them. And there were hundreds of people. Has anyone ever been there to the National Day of Prayer Breakfast in Cumberland? It's great, great breakfast. And anytime they have sausage and bacon and you can pick both, that's a good breakfast. And Everett said, amen. And so I'm at this National Day of Prayer Breakfast, and I'm so weird. I know everybody knows that. Like, I think... Every time, like when we're on a mission trip, or any time I'm with a group of people, and we're together for an extended period of time, I find myself thinking, okay, if this was Survivor, who would be voted out first? I really do. Does anybody else do that? Okay, and now you're going, thanks a lot, I'm going to start. So I'm at the National Day of Prayer Breakfast, and my weirdness... Anytime I'm with a whole bunch of religious people like that, and I don't mean church people, but I mean preachers and chaplains, and I'm sitting there Thursday morning, and I'm thinking to myself, if Jesus were physically on the earth, he would be here at the National Day of Prayer Breakfast today. And if I were to stand up and say that in front of all the people in the National Day of Prayer Breakfast, they would all be going, amen, amen. Jesus would be right here. And he would be going, you brood of vipers! You hypocrites! Wouldn't he? To the people sitting at the National Day of Prayer Breakfast, you're going, oh, not my Jesus. He never rebuked, he never called out the sinners. I mean, he told them, go and sin no more. But he never had a harsh word for any of the sinners. Those were all saved for the religious people. And as Paul said, of whom I am the chief. Does that not scare you at all? That Jesus had the most problem with religious people? His harshest words were for religious people. You know, that's why, like with people who are of the world, I really don't have a problem with them acting like they're of the world. The problem that I have with people who act like they're of the world are people like me and you who call themselves Christians. If I'm here for 20 years... You'll hear this story 20 times or so. This may be the second time you've heard it here, but we have a lot of other people here today who haven't heard it. But we had a thrift shop at the church I served before back in Mason. We had a thrift store, and I was at this thrift store one day. I spent a little bit of time there, and I was at this thrift store one day, and this woman came in, and she said, VCR, CD player, DVD player. This DVD player has a ticket on it for $8. Would you take $5 for it? Well, all the stuff was donated at the thrift store. The thrift store made about $1,000 a month, and that money we put in the building fund back there. And so this woman came up and said, will you take $5 for it? And the woman behind the counter said, sure, we'll take $5 for it. So she said, here's the remote, and... sent her on her way. Well, a couple days later, I happened to be back in... This sounds like a made-up story. A couple days later, I happened to be back in there. No, it was right across the street from the church and where I lived, so I spent a lot of time over there. And so I was over there, and this woman brought back this DVD player. And she said, it doesn't work. And I said, how embarrassing. I mean, we should check these electronics. You know, people just donate them. They could have been in somebody's garage for 3 years and not work. So we should check this stuff. And so the woman behind the counter was a different woman than before. And it still had the $8 sticker on it, as I recall. And she said, well, how much did you pay for it, honey? And she said, how much did she pay for it? $5. She said, how much did you pay for it, honey? What do you think she said? $8 is what she said. And Sue Stone is a woman who was also there, when it was sold. And Sue was there when it came back in. And Sue said, excuse me, but you paid $5 for that. You ask if we would take $5 for it because it had the $8 sticker on it. And what do you think the woman who was returning it said? Oh, that's right. It slipped my mind that I asked for a $3 discount. It was $5. And so I remember using that illustration when I talked about Peter preaching to the people who killed Jesus. And he said, but you were ignorant, you didn't know. You know why Jesus is so sympathetic to the sinners? And I know you would argue, oh, they should know, but they don't know. It takes God and His Holy Spirit to convict us, and I don't mean convict us in a bad, I mean convict us in a good way. And so then we understand that we don't do that anymore. I'm going to brag on my wife for a second. We were downtown on Thursday, or whatever day it was. We were downtown at the dollar store there on Baltimore Street. You know what I'm talking about? And they have all those flowers outside. And there are these awesome baskets that hang on your deck that they're about that wide and full of flowers. And they have these things and they go over the deck rail so you don't have to screw into the deck. And she bought two of those. She was buying them with her birthday money that her mom gave her. And she said, they're 20-something, Diane said. They're 20-something. And so we go, they've got the little cash register outside, and the woman says, okay, two of those are $19.99 each. And I said to Diane, the woman says they're $19.99 each. And Diane said, and so the woman rings them up. And Diane says, I don't think those are $19.99. Those come with the brackets that go over the rail, and I think those are 20-something. And so then the lady went over and said, oh, I thought you meant these other. These are $24.99. $10. And so she paid the right price. And were she alone? If she was alone that day, she would have done that. She wouldn't have come home and said anything to me. She wouldn't have come home and said, guess what I did today? And I'm not telling you this so that only that when you're out there in the world, you know better than to take something that's not marked the right price. Don't you? I do too. But you got that little devil going, oh, nobody will ever know. And I mean, heck, they overcharge for those flowers anyhow. And but Diane's a mom, and a Christian mom. And Christian moms are different, aren't they? And so like when Helen's, I don't have a Christian mom I don't really even have a mom to brag about. And I don't have a Christian mom to brag about. But whenever I hear people talk about their Christian moms and their great moms, it sort of still brings tears to my eyes. Not because I feel like I missed out on anything, because I had a great grandma. But I think about Adam and Matt have that. Your kids have that. Your kids have that. Have that. You all who are here today, your kids are going to grow up and say, and I don't know if they're going to say, I remember when she took me to church and I loved it. But they're going to say, I remember when she took me to church. And now I'm glad she did. I don't know, it's weird. Jesus and moms both know when we need a hug and when we need a whooping. And all I can tell you is I got some whoopings as I was growing up, and sure I had them coming to me. And Jesus, I mean, obviously he doesn't whip you, but there are consequences for our actions, and sometimes he has to deal with us. I always pray, this is a good prayer. Lord, be as gentle as you can with me and still get your point across. That's what I pray all the time. I'm paying attention. You may think that's a weird prayer. I don't. Lord, because he'll do whatever he has to do to get your attention. And I always say, be as gentle. And that's what I prayed for Adam when he was not living as he should live. I would pray, Lord, be as gentle as you can with him, but do what you need to do. You ever pray that? Do what you need to do, Lord. Give him a whooping. So anyhow, that's I think that's the end of it today. A little different, but we're going to have a prayer and a video, and then we're going to go into praise and prayer time, and we'll close with our hymn. So let me pray. God, I thank you so much for those who are here to honor their mothers today. I remember also, Lord, from personal experience, I know that Mother's Day isn't all it's cracked up to be for some people. Some people may have strained relationships, or some people maybe never even knew their mother. Some people have lost their mother. Some mothers have lost children. And there's so many factors surrounding this day. But Lord, we remember today and we thank you for mothers who sacrifice like you. Mothers who will forgive their children no matter what they've done, like you, just like you, Lord. And we pray that you would help us to be more like that, that you would help us to forgive people and not to condemn people, but to come up alongside them and give them a hug when they need it. God, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who knows us better than we know ourselves and who knows what we need. We give you thanks and praise for him and the mighty ways he works. And Lord, if there's any here today who maybe you've been working on and maybe has nothing to do with this message today, but some here today who wants that forgiveness that you offer, that you refuse no one. Lord, we remember today, the best parent, you always welcome your children, and that you refuse no one who asks for forgiveness. So for those who need forgiveness today, Lord, we pray that you would hear their hearts and that you would tell them that they're forgiven. And maybe for the first time today, God, people are turning to you. We give you thanks and praise for your Son, Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.